What we do here is go back.
Oh, you guys, my gosh. Late breaking news. We can't.
What?
Oh, gosh. Welcome back to another edition of the Raider Take Podcast. I am Micah McDonald. With me, as always, is Andy McDonald. And the amount of mush and jinxing that came from this podcast between Wednesday morning on when we recorded and the end of the Raider game is so unbelievable, it'll take us 3 hours to even recap. But nonetheless, here we are.
I don't know what to say. We'll get into the game as that was just a buzzkill. You know, pretty frustrating, but you know, also we had two mortal locks this week, and one of them we went head to head, and when we recorded, because it was early Wednesday morning, I think it was an hour after the pod got released, or not the pod, when we completed it, they moved it from Thursday. And so we're like, oh, that's a bummer, like we're not going to get to watch this game, this mortal lock on Thursday night between the Ravens and the Steelers. And then it just got worse. Yeah. And then it just got rolled downhill and just picked up so many positive COVID tests. It was crazy. And so it went from Sunday to Tuesday. And as we're recording, who knows if it'll change? Who knows if it'll change? But as we're recording Monday night, it's Wednesday at 3:30 Eastern Standard Time. So we're on the West Coast. And that's a 12:30 burger for us on the West Coast. So if you have a lunch break, you know, you can plug out of work, tune in to the Raven Steelers at 12:30 on Wednesday, prime time, you know, prime time slot right there. So anyways,
the bright lights of the sun.
Yeah. Just, you know, under the bright lights of the original OG of light,
the bright light, the one singular light.
That's right.
I don't think the universe wants us to go head to head in any more locks, because the fact that this game just, like you said, got pushback an hour after we recorded, and then just continued to just go farther and farther back to the point of, like, I don't know when they're going to actually play it. Like, it might not even get played just because we were going to go head to head.
Yeah. And I don't know what that means. Does it do, like, it either they don't want us to compete against each other, which is fine, or maybe we just have power. Maybe we just have control over the NFL where we'll go head to head this week and just see what happens. Cause if it happens again, I'd be hard pressed to say that we don't have some juju in the positive or negative direction here, but you know, nonetheless, we have some control.
We might need to go head to head on the Chiefs game and just push them out for just taking one less
just
win.
Their
away
whole
from
team
them.
Just catches it. Anyways, just sorry, we were talking before this, but I have the Seahawks -6.5 right now. 20-9, Eagles are driving down. Carson Wentz throws a pick.
Oh man, yes.
Yeah, I mean, not surprising.
There's some good in the world this week.
But just wanted to give you a live update here. I digress. Let us get back into this. So we'll go through our mortal locks as we had. Mike and I picked one for the Sunday slate. As we mentioned, we picked the Ravens Steelers game, which that might be played probably July 24th of 2022 at this point, with how it keeps getting pushed back. And then we'll recap this just abysmal game that we experienced on Sunday morning. Micah, the old Panther train, you know? And I'm going to stand their frauds. As far as I'm concerned, they're probably the best team to bet on of all time.
Yeah.
I'm good with splitting there. I'm good with feeling that, like, I assess the team and I say, these guys are frauds. And you're like, I don't care. They cover. And I think we can both be right here. So
yeah, exactly.
Spoiler alert for everyone out there, but you had Panthers +4.5. They went to Minnesota. How'd it go?
As you alluded to, they covered. They lost 28-27 and a nail biter, but the spread was 4.5. I needed them to, you know, essentially win by a field goal or less, and that they did. So couldn't be happier. Teddy Two Gloves went out and brought it home for me. Like I said before, we've said multiple times, we don't care whether they win or lose. We care whether they cover the spread. And my Panthers have covered the spread yet again.
Okay. Now it's pissing me off to say my Panthers, because... But whatever, you know, I'd
shout out to Dan and his Patriots.
Yeah. I mean, shout out Mel Dreamy. Congrats. You know, I would just keep betting Panthers if I were you. They seem to just have your back, but I do think they're doing us a solid by continuing to be frauds for me, but also covering for you.
Yeah.
So I think that's good. For me, we're on a heater, two in a row. You know, we are on fire right now. I took Buffalo -5.5. They ended up winning 27-17 against the Los Angeles Chargers. Let me tell you how I covered. Okay. If you have a second, you have a second for me to explain this, you know?
Yeah, I think
don't really have a choice because I'm going to anyway. So 27-17, the Chargers have the ball and it's like a minute left and they're driving. They basically need quick points, onside, and a prayer, right? So they go down and I think it's fourth and 10. Fourth and 10 at like the 50. Buffalo's 50. Herbert drops back, rolls left. Throws a bomb downfield. Catches it. I don't know if it was Keenan Allen or Mike Williams or one of those guys. One of them catches it down at the 2-yard line. Big play. Call gets brought back 10-yard. Offensive pass interference because he clearly pushed off, right? And so I was like, okay. Because if they score a touchdown, that's 27-24. They're going to do the onside thing. Regardless, Buffalo would just take a knee, right? And I would lose. I would lose again. I was like, here we go. Here we go, world. Mortal lock world. You hear it? You're after me again. Play gets called back. Fourth and 20. Herbert drops back. Rolls left. Avoids sack. Throws a bomb. Caught. First down on, I believe, the 3 or 4 yard line.
Holy crap.
So I thought I escaped death once. Not so fast, my friends, as Lee Corso would say. Twicey. Bomb again. Down at the 3. I'm like, okay, this is just meant to be. The Raider game's unfolding right now. And I'm already just at a mental loss. I'm beat down. I'm broken up about this, right? But you forgot who I bet against. The Chargers.
Yes.
So they go down. Okay. No timeouts. So they go down and there's like 50 seconds left. So Mike, if you threw a bomb and your whole offensive team has to run, and linemen, the least fastest of the bunch, have to run 40 yards down, first and goal, you need a score, what would your first play be?
Your first play would be to spike it.
Okay.
Stop the clock.
What?
Stop the clock. You don't have any timeouts.
Right.
Everybody's gassed. You also got to like point people around, get plays set up. It's a lot of time.
Cool. You know what the Chargers did? Dive up the middle.
What?
They ran a dive with Josh Kelly. Oh, yeah.
Wow.
-1 yard loss. And then
you know how gassed those linemen were from running down there?
Oh, yeah. And so at this point, I'm like, wait a second. I might have a shot here. Run up the gut with Josh Kelly. Nothing. They spike it. Third and goal. QB draw.
Oh, my gosh.
He gets shut down. Game over.
Wow.
So, yeah, I'm not super accurate with like the time of it all as it took 18 seconds to get down there. And then they ran a dive. And then so, but basically they spiked it.
3.5 minutes later.
And then they ran a QB draw up the middle. Because, you know, we got you there. So Anthony Lynn, thank you. Chargers, thank you. Everyone around the world at Sports Chargers, which is about 18 of you guys currently. Thank you so much. Covered that mortal lock. I just wanted to explain that because I think that was the turning point for me. I think I'm just like getting ahead of steam right around the corner, dip my right shoulder to get right past the tackle, and I'm getting to the house. So 2-game winning streak. I know that hold on a second. You are 9-2-1. You are 9-2-1.
Correct.
Nice. I was thinking about the Raiders win loss. They're 6-5. You got to add one.
You always do that.
It's 12. Yeah. I always mess it up. But
I'm pretty sure every team is done with their bye weeks by now.
Nope. Buccaneers.
Oh. Okay.
Yep. I'm in a tight playoff race for fantasy because everyone cares. And the Bucs have a bye next week. Last game of the fantasy season. So thank you, Mike Evans and Leonard Fournette, even though I never play you. Okay. Anyway, so that's our mortal locks. Happy that we both won. Ravens Steelers, catch them at your lunch break on Wednesday. And we'll break that down too, just because that was our extra mortal lock, or this game won't even be played because, you know, let's just keep pushing the Ravens game back so they can get healthy.
Yeah.
And when the Raiders offensive linemen are not even present for a week, let's just move your game up 5 hours.
Yeah.
How does that sound? Excellent. Also, the Broncos played with no quarterbacks, which was really awesome. But recap of the game. We talked about this. You had the offense. I had the Raiders defense. I'm not going to break this game down too much. I'm just going to fire off about how pissed I am. And I would encourage you to do whatever you please with your segment. But I'm just letting you know what I'm going to do. So you had the Raiders offense against the Falcons defense. In case anyone didn't watch the game, the Raiders lost to the Falcons 43-6. So if you didn't watch it, that's what happened. If you haven't listened to this podcast before or don't follow football at all, the Raiders shouldn't have lost. Mm-mm. In general, shouldn't have lost by 37. What are your thoughts, sir? I did a lot of tangents there with my mortal locks and my frustrations, but what are your thoughts on the game before I just lose my mind?
Yeah. So I actually got a very interesting stat for you. No other team in NFL history that I know of is 0-2 when going into week 12 with a 6-4 record facing a 3-7 team. The Raiders are 0-2 in the last 2 years. I talked about how I almost had PTSD going into this week, that we were going to be facing the Jets and that we were going into week 12 and we were 6-4. I didn't even like put together the fact that the Falcons were 3-7. If I'd have known that, man, I would have been on a, probably a different, I wouldn't have been on a different level, but that would have been just some even more weirder juju that I would have been like, man, this is a little funky. But nonetheless, we got our hearts trapped out in this game. Talked about how it could be a trap game. Oh my gosh, it was unbelievable how terrible it was. You know, go out there and you have, what was it, 4 turnovers? Carr fumbled 3 times, Jacobs fumbled once, and then Carr threw a pick 6.
Yep.
I'm not 100% positive on the statistics behind that, but I don't know if a team's ever turned the ball over 5 times, one of them resulting in a touchdown, and won a game. You can't do that. The offense was sloppy to begin with, ended sloppy. Darren Waller had 4 catches. 2 of them came from Nathan Peterman at the end of the game. Josh Jacobs, luckily, word today was that his ankle injury wasn't as bad as it seemed during the game. I thought he broke his ankle. I thought he snapped it, shattered it. It was like, it was one of those things where things, just bad things were rolling downhill and nothing could stop it. And then Josh Jacobs' ankle got in the way too. And it was like, okay, now we're going to fucking lose him for the rest of the season because he snapped something on a stupid good play that he was trying to get extra yards on. It was, so luckily he should be back depending on how he feels this week. But my God, man, it was so terrible. We literally sat here and I said, this could be a trap game, but it's going to be on their offense for our defense side of things. I jinxed us. That's where another part of this jinx comes into play. So just to clarify what the mush that this podcast put on this game and this week, besides the Ravens getting pushed back, was me thinking that our defense was going to be the problem. Our defense played good for the first half of the game. The offense, let's see, it was 23-6. The offense gave up 17 points, essentially. Defense was only given up about 6 points at that point. And the ball, we turned the ball over so many damn times that they just, I mean, we were asking them to score on offense. We're like, here, just take the ball back again and score again. Take the ball back again and score again. It was so fucking ridiculous. Sorry for the language. It was like, Lord, don't do this to me now. Don't do this last stretch of our season where we thought so badly that this was going to be different, that this wasn't going to be 2019 all over again. And boy, howdy, are we starting off like that. And it's one of those things where you're just like, I'm not like smashing the panic button right now. I'm still, you know, the glass case has opened on the panic button, but I'm not smashing it. I'm not hovering near it or anything like that. But it's just one of those things where this is why we can't have nice things, because you go out and do stuff like this. We talked about it. Good teams beat the bad teams that they're supposed to beat. They don't go out and get 43 put on them by the freaking Falcons, who granted have been putting up points all year and have found ways to lose. I understand that, but it's like, we gave the ball over so many times, and then we go down and we have an 8-minute drive and then have to settle for a field goal. And it's like, I don't know. I'm getting too worked up at the moment, but it was just a complete mental breakdown on the offensive side of the ball, at least, of just like not being able to just, maybe just riding high at the moment. Maybe we just got too comfortable. It was just bad. Not good. It was not good. The only way to beat teams, score more points than them. We did not do that on Sunday.
Yeah, I don't know what else to say. I think the hardest part of it was that for the majority of the game, I was like, okay, we're going to turn it around here, right? Because 43-6 is just a shellacking, right? That's just, you got taken to the, you know, to the back shed and you got pounded, right? It's like that really didn't happen. I'm not trying to be optimistic. I'm just saying, like, you're watching the game and it, you know, and with hope. And so, you know, they start off the game 3 and out and we get excellent field position. And I love getting the ball at half, especially when you force a 3 and out on the first drive. Like, awesome. Some weird plays that the Raiders started out with. And then they went for it on 4th and 1, toss sweep to the right. Jacobs is like 8 yards behind the line of scrimmage. And then he didn't get it. So I was like, okay, I like being it. Go ahead.
Sorry. I'm sorry to cut you off. And you watch the replay of that. And Brandon Parker decides that he wants to go run after a cornerback that was damn near on the sideline when the linebacker who stopped the play was right in his face running straight up. If he blows that linebacker up, Jacobs has not only the first down, but probably at least another 8 to 10 yards.
Yeah, no, I agree. But there was a spot where if he just puts his foot in the ground, he could have gotten upfield too. So it does work both ways. But yeah, I don't know. So there was that, and I was like, okay. And then, you know, the Falcons, they drive, you know, obviously they have the ball at like the 50. So they drive a little bit, defense plays well, field goal. And then Carr turns the ball over, defense plays well, field goal. I'm like, okay, like we're in this thing still, you know. And then we drive, and I went on my rant about our 3rd and short, and we take a shot, right? So they heard that and they're like, hey man, I heard you like shots down the field on 3rd and short. How does 4th and 5 sound? Bomb to Henry Ruggs. And I'm like, what are you doing? And Ruggs comes up with it and he makes a play. DB goes down, but he steps out of bounds as he's going into the end zone. So I was like, okay, 1st goal, 3-yard line. Nah, man. We're just going to go. We're going to go 3 and out here and kick the field goal. So I was like, okay, 6-3, we're battling through. And then it was just death by 1,000 paper cuts is what it came down to. So they go on a pretty impressive long drive, score a touchdown. Then they kick a field goal at the end of the second quarter, 16-3. I'm like, okay, we get the ball at half, go down, score 16-10. Mm-hmm. We're in this thing. Not so fast. I believe it was 3 and out by them. Carr throws a pick 6. So it's like, okay, 23-6. And then it just implodes. So I'm not going to walk through the whole game, but it was just like, my point is that midway through the third quarter, you're like, no, this is a 1 or 2 possession ball game. You know, we can battle back. Our defense is playing fine. And it was just so bad. It was just so bad that like they couldn't get going. Their defensive line kicked our ass. And it was the first time I think we got exposed for having this revolving door of an offensive line. They kicked our ass straight up. You know, it didn't help that Raheem Morris, interim head coach of the Falcons, was once a John Gruden disciple. So he knows the offense inside and out, played against, you know, or schemed against some scout team wise. He's seen it, right? And so obviously a lot of things have evolved since the Tampa Bay days, but he's familiar with him. And I'm not saying like he just outsmarted us, but we just didn't execute at all. And it was bad. So
a lot of drop DC balls
had a bad too. Game.
Yeah.
What's up?
A lot of drop balls too.
A lot of drop balls. I mean, it was just like we were off. And then the second that thing started going the bad way, that pick 6 was just like, if we don't answer now, it's over. And we didn't, and it was over. So DC, 4 turnovers on his end, 3 fumbles, 1 pick 6. Can't do that. Josh Jacobs on the play that he got hurt, he fumbled. It was just bad. It was just bad. And then they gave up and we lost to the Falcons 43-6. So
yeah. And Jacobs would have had two fumbles if like his other forearm wasn't just barely down before the ball came out too. So,
Oh yeah. I mean, we were catching some breaks, just to keep us in the game, but really dude, it was just like, we couldn't get out of our own way. So, I mean, Matt Ryan, buck 85, 2 touchdowns. They ran for 125 yards, but a lot of garbage time stuff. Really caught a touchdown, but it was on that wonky 4th and goal. it was just one of those games you're like, I don't know. That's why I didn't even want to break it down. There's no point to get into the ins and outs of how they attacked us and how we couldn't combat it. It was just like, it was a freaking weird game, dude. And we got exposed, or whatever you want to call it. We showed up flat. It was a trap game. And I thought it was like, oh, trap game. Like, we're going to let these guys
hang with us and like make it a close one. Yeah.
Not at all. No, it's like, here's a 37 burger on the road against Falcons. So I don't want to really talk about it that much more. I haven't liked to think about it, but I will tell you this. So usually when this happens, because it has happened a lot in my life and yours, is I avoid a lot of things. I avoid communication with people, humans. And now in the last 5 years, let's just call it social media, with whether it's Bleacher Report or Instagram, now Twitter, everyone, right? Mm-hmm. I was like, no, I don't want to deal with this. But I'm like, hold on a second. What if I just embrace it? What if I just get through it? And so last night, you know, baby's down, wife goes to bed. I'm just like, I'm just going to get into this. Right. And so I hadn't looked at Bleacher Report. I hadn't looked at Twitter. I hadn't looked at anything because I didn't want to even address it. And I just went 30 straight minutes of seeing everything about everyone crushing the Raiders. And I woke up this morning still feeling bad and shitty, actually, but it was healthy.
What was it?
So no, it wasn't actually that beneficial, but I thought it would work, and it just pissed me off. Then I went to bed angry and I woke up angry. But anyways, it was a frustrating game. And it was just the fact that, like, the wild, cause we're not going to win the division. Sorry.
Yeah.
Spoiler. But the wild card is so competitive. You have the Browns that are 8-3. You have the Colts that are 7-4. You have the Dolphins that are 7-4. And now we're on the outside looking in.
Yeah.
The favorable thing is that could be favorable, could be not. We play the Colts and the Dolphins one more time this year, and we have already beaten the Browns. So hypothetically or theoretically, if we win those two games against the Colts and the Dolphins, and it gets to a point where everyone's 10-6 at the end of the year, let's just call it that, we will have the advantage on all three of those teams. So that's an optimistic way to look at it. A less optimistic way to look at it is we shouldn't have ever fucking lost to the Falcons.
Exactly.
You said one, I get to say one. That's so shouldn't have happened. So now we're 6-5 outside looking in. We play the Jets next week, and that's who Falcon dust last year.
Yeah, exactly.
So revenge game, you know, everyone's been talking about this as a revenge game. No, this is a don't piss your season away game coming up, but we'll get more into that later this week. I believe we'll have a special guest that we'll do an interview with that will include him on the preview pod. So excited to roll that out. Has some ties to the Jets, but once everything's finalized, we'll get that out to the peeps. But I'm moving on. I'm just moving. I'm turning the page. You know,
yeah.
That's where I'm at.
Yeah, I don't know any other spot to be at but there, outside of complete rage, which had been had already. You got to get that out of your system sometimes, whether that's letting it fester internally, which I've heard is not a good thing to do. But nonetheless, got to move past it. Got to go out, beat the Jets. We'll touch on that later. But it was a bad day, a bad day for Raider Nation. Hopefully brighter days to come, and we'll just have to see what happens. We'll have to go out there and hopefully put a wampum on the Jets and kind of get back into the good graces of things. But
yeah, I don't care what the scores of the Jets game. We need a W.
Yeah.
Yeah. It can be 3-0 and I will just be pumped.
Yes.
Because we need to get out of this funk. And okay. And I said I was done, but I'm actually not done. That's the last fine. Thing I will say is, how classic is it for Raider Nation and Derek Carr stands, not car stands, like actual stands you put under cars, but the Derek Carr supporters, as you are more than I am at times, but I'm also been very positive about him, to like be Derek Carr's MVP candidate. Raiders are the only one that can beat the Chiefs. And then rarely does this happen, but like actual, like NFL Network, ESPN, like these guys, everyone is giving us praise. Who cares what Colin Cowherd or Skip those things, but
yeah,
like we're fine. We're
yeah, Rich finally Eisen there. Gave us praise. That's, I feel good about that one.
Yeah, Rich Eisen's a good guy, you know. But we're finally there.
Yeah.
And then it's like Derek Carr, 4 turnovers, pick 6, Raiders 43-6, Falcons, and they're like, and you're back.
Yeah.
So we had after a loss, we had, you know, 6 days, 7 days of glory there to be like, they're actually they're not that bad.
Yeah.
And then we're like, yeah, that's what you thought.
Yeah.
We are that bad.
Hold my beer.
Yeah. They're not that drunk. That's what they were saying. And they're like, nah, they're pretty hammered.
Nah, they're actually pretty drunk.
No, I actually had a conversation with them in Atlanta and they looked pretty trash. So whatever, dude, you know, just whatever. If you want a live update, 23-9 Seahawks over the Eagles. Eagles are driving. So even if the Eagles score a touchdown and kick an extra point, I still cover. So
did DK Metcalf kick that field goal? Cause I need any points that I can get from him.
He snapped it to himself and kicked it, which is incredible. I don't know if that counts for three or four in your fantasy, but no. So cool. You know, at least I have that.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Raiders. Raiders are big turds. That's what I take that. Me big turds, me big meanies. I'm over you until next pod where I'm going to talk myself into how we're back.
We're going to go out and whoop them. Yeah. Oh, well,
whatever, dude.
Yeah.
This is how I grieve.
Yeah. Everyone grieves differently.
Yeah. You know, but
do you.
Right on. Well, I'm excited for this week, man. We got some good content coming out and, you know, Raider Nation, take a deep breath, turn the page. Micah, as always, very fortunate to be here with you. Excited for what we have ahead of us, yes, as this podcast is concerned and also as the Raider Nation is concerned. So
as always, we appreciate all the love, share, subscribe, rate, review, give us 5 stars, keep spreading the love, and we appreciate everything. Raider Nation, don't stand up too fast. You might get lightheaded.
I would say seated at this point. Okay. And we'll stand up a little bit later, but okay. You know, love you guys. Oh my God.
What? What does 8 points do? Does 8 points put you 17 to 23 is six and a half, right?
Oh, you guys, just
late breaking news. We can't.
What?
Oh gosh.
Okay.
We have to update. So let's now. Please update the listeners.
How is that serious? Why would they do that? Okay. So the Seahawks are up 23-9 on the I'm still traumatized by the Falcons. Seahawks are up 23-9, 14 points on the Eagles. As I was giving you guys updates, and then they go down and they're going to score against the Seahawks. I was like, cool, I'm good because I have the Seahawks minus 6.5. So you don't need 8 points. Can we all agree?
You don't. It's more
they
than
throw
seven,
a touchdown. So. They throw a touchdown with 12 seconds left.
Oh my God.
And they're like, okay, if you kick the extra point, you're down 7. So you get the onside kick. Then you can try and tie the game with 12 seconds left. The Eagles went for 2 literally just literally. Now. And they succeeded. So the current score is 23-17 Seahawks, which is not 6 now. If you're keeping track at home. And that might have been one of the worst beats I've ever had.
Wow.
And we're live.
2-minute time frame. The tides changed very quickly.
How did that
RIP
happen?
RIP in peace. I'm sorry.
Who does that? Hey, man, I like losing by 6, not 7. It's like, what? Do you think they knew the spread?
Doug Peterson had to have known the spread. He had to have. He's like, I'm just going to shove it in everybody's face. So many people are talking shit about the Eagles. I think
this is an all-time bad beat.
This is a top.
This is all top and bad. Like all-time, for me,
yeah, all-time RTP bad beat for sure.
Yep, 23-17, end of the game.
Holy shit.
I did see that someone threw $500,000 on the Eagles minus 6 or on the Seahawks minus 6.5.
Wow.
So I'm not that guy because I don't have that much cash, but I also lost, and that's not fair. Cool. Well, you know what? On to the Jets preview.
Yeah.
Bring us back home.
Ronda, New Jersey.
Wow, that sucked. That was bad. That hurts. I was just done grieving. Now I have like 48 hours more of this. Okay. All right. I'm sorry. I'm done.
Till next time.
Raider Nation, sit down. Seahawks, sit down.
Please.
Sorry. Done.
Please sit down.
No, super excited. You know, excited for our guests, excited to get things rolling for the Jets preview, get some additional content to everyone. Like we mentioned, get a different perspective, get some new opinions, fresh perspective on the NFL in itself. And, you know, looking forward to getting more of those things lined up as we do. So Raider Nation, love you guys. We got this. On to New York. Micah, as always.
Yep.
Peace out.
Till next time. See ya.